be with your youth ministry on Friday night and hang out with some more students and parents yesterday. And we get to be with you today and be with the youth ministry again tonight. So it's a privilege for us to be here. My name is John Sladen. My wife is Christy, if you'll wave or stand or whatever. Doing my best to embarrass her whenever I can like that. I'm the campus chaplain at Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, and have been there since last fall. We just moved there. And I think we have a pretty cool connection with this church in this way, that for 9 years, I was a youth pastor up in Canton area, Canton, Ohio, so not too far from here. And I had known Callaway in college. And so, believe it or not, you as a church, when all the work you do for Rush Camp in the summer had a tremendous impact on us, Christy and I, getting to know your pastor and his wife, and just our students. And so we want to say thank you for that. Didn't really had a chance to do that ever. So from our years of experience up in Louisville, as a youth pastor, thank you for, as a church, having a heart for students and being such a big part of that week. It's a big deal. And so thank you for doing that. And let me say this too, from our campus, we want to say thank you. A lot of the great things happening at Baptist Bible College right now. There's a lot of excitement built. There's a lot of good things going on. Missionaries being trained, youth pastors, music pastors being trained, teachers and businessmen and women being trained, and some great things happening. But those great things don't happen without great churches like yours and what you do for us. And so, from us to you, on behalf of our school and our whole campus, thank you very much for all you do for us and your heart for our college and for the students that are there. Really, it doesn't happen without churches like yours. So thank you. Thanks for all you do. Your pastor and his wife have been a great influence in Christy and I's life. I can remember the first time I met them and just their heart and just genuine care for us and wanting to invest in us and our lives. And so thank you. I know Pastor Jerry's not here today, but please pass along a thank you. And thank you so much for all you do for us and our family. Just care so much for us. And so thank you. If I said thank you enough, that was a goal of mine as I started, because I really want to get that across, because it is so important what you do, and encourage you to continue that. It's a great encouragement to us. Do this for me. If you would, go to Psalm 29. Psalm 29, we're going to start there, but that's not where we're going to spend most of our time. That's going to set the stage for us as we jump off. And it's amazing, as we just kind of prayed about this weekend and had a chance to again be with your students and your parents, and just the encouragement they were to us, and hopefully we had a chance to be that to them just a touch. And we look forward to being with the teenagers again tonight as well. We're looking forward to that. You know, as we thought about this and prayed about it, and even the music this morning, the song Enough, which I love that song, and even what the choir just sang, how it's going to kind of just fit perfectly with this idea and this big picture in our lives that we need to grasp onto, that God is enough. And sometimes it's hard, but there are times in life and there are things in life that require us just to kind of be still. It's too big for us to handle. But we get a clear picture, hopefully today, at a pretty unique story, I think, in the Old Testament, that God is enough, and that we don't need to do everything, that God's big enough to handle anything that we could ever come across in life. And that's really easy to say and sometimes kind of hard to grasp a hold of. But this kind of sets the stage for us in Psalm 29. Let's read this. Follow along as I read this morning. Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. And listen to this. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Let's pray, and then we'll get started. God, thank you for all you do for us. Thank you for who you are, how you work in our lives in such a great way, how you're big enough and strong enough and mighty enough and present enough to help us in any time of need. And you give us grace and mercy, and you've just done so much for us. God, we're overwhelmed, and we just want to say thank you for that. We're in awe of you, and please help us for the next few minutes to let this be real to us and be challenged by your word this morning. And so, God, please help us do that today in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Psalm 29 is very adamant that the voice of the Lord is powerful. You know, you got the feel for that. It described it in a few different ways. How many of you would say this? You've been at a place in your life where you really needed to hear God. You needed God to do something. You needed God to kind of swoop in and save the day, to make things right, to give you confidence, to give you courage, to give you strength. Can you raise your hand? Yeah, you know what? That fits us all, doesn't it? At some point or another, we all have felt the weight of that. God, we need you. Please, we need you. You know, that looks different at different stages in life, doesn't it? When we cry out to God and we need help because of this certain situation or because of this circumstance and we can't handle it, it's too big. Christy and I have two kids, Isaac, who is 6 years old, and Allie, who is 3. And it's amazing that we see these pictures and we learn so much from our kids all the time. And, you know, for Isaac, what's too much for him is completely different than what's too much for Allie. You know, what's too much for me at my stage in life might be completely different than what maybe you are dealing with at your stage in life. You know, for Isaac, he needs help with a video game. Dad, you got to help me. You know, and of course, I don't know how to do it. He's much better at those things than I am. You know how quick kids pick up on that stuff. Dad, I got to get past this level. I need your help. You know, well, I die, you know, right off the bat. Okay, let me give it a shot, you know, and I die. And he's like, Dad, seriously? You know, what's wrong with you? You should know how to do this. Well, Allie, maybe it's, I need you to tie my shoe or get my sock on. It's one of those days and I just can't get my little sock on my foot. So, Daddy, help me, you know. She's kind of a little bit of a drama queen anyway, even at 3. Those of you who with young daughters, you might be able to relate to that. You know, for us, where we are in life, it would be a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? There's so many different stages as we grow and we develop and we engage new things and we see these circumstances that life throws at us, these situations where we need help. You know, we would look at the current world we live in today. We would look at politics or the economic picture or the whatever struggles come along with that kind of stuff. We think, man, this is too big. This is bad, or this is everything's going downhill, or this is this, or we just can't handle this. What's going on? How do we deal with all these seemingly unsolvable circumstances? We can see that. We can deal with that. We can understand that. For Christy and I, it was we felt this a lot in the last 6-8 months. We went from college right up to Ohio, right up to Canton area, and we were in a ministry there for 9 years, and then God laid in our heart to kind of transition down to Baptist Bible College. And so for us, the whole idea of what that meant was way too big for us to handle. All the questions that came up and all the concerns that came up, God, we need you in this, you know? And I don't know where you are. I don't know what maybe you're dealing with or what's coming to mind or what could be a circumstance that you think, man, that is way too big. I don't know what's going to happen with this. I'm facing this at work or this in my family or this is a personal struggle of mine and I just can't seem to get victory over it. And God, I need to hear from you. I need you to do a great work in this situation. So let me ask you to turn to 2 Chronicles 20. There's this story in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles 20, and I love it because even in the middle of uncertain, seemingly unsolvable circumstances, we can have confidence in life. And we see that through this story. And it's such a great challenge. It's a great challenge to me. And I think if we were to be honest with ourselves, it's going to challenge each and every one of us. Because as we go through life, as we go through life with God, we can live a confident life. We have confidence in Him. And it's unique how this plays out. In 2 Chronicles 20, we see this unique story unfold. It says this, "And it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea this side, Syria, and behold, they be in Hazaz on Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared." So time out quick right there. Listen, this is kind of a military situation for this, but it affected a whole nation. And there's their leader, and he gets word that, hey, you got these people coming from this side, and you got these people coming from this side, and this guy's coming over this way. These people are coming from the sea, and these people from the mountains, and what are you going to do? And sometimes life can feel that way to us. It's just coming from all angles, and there's pressures, and there's things we have to deal with, and decisions that have to be made, and it can seem overwhelming at times. And so we find that situation with Jehoshaphat. He's faced with this, and in the previous chapter, you see, as Jehoshaphat makes this decision to bring the people back to God. And we don't have time to dig into all that, but this is the stage that's set. He's begun to make some good decisions, but yet he faced this circumstance. And I don't know what that could be for us, but let's look at what happens with Jehoshaphat. This is interesting. I ran across two stories that relate to this, and they're examples in history. And one is the army of Napoleon was closing in on Moscow. And the leader in Moscow, the Tsar Alexander, knew of nothing else to do but to go to a church in St. Petersburg and plead with God to perform a miracle on behalf of his nation. The story says this, that just in time, winter became too hard for the troops and armies of Napoleon to advance, and they were forced to retreat. I thought that was interesting. Another story says this, in 1986, President Marcos in the Philippines sent 8 helicopters and 2 bombers to destroy a camp of 800 soldiers who were rebelling against his authority. The general gathered the troops together, began to read Psalms and pray. And one by one, the helicopter pilots defected and the bomber pilots defected. And that little situation was able to reach peace to the civil war that was in that country. You know, whatever could be pressing in on us and whatever could be bringing the pressure and that desire to make some big decisions, and it could seem too big. And the fact is this, we have to come to a place in life, I believe, where we understand and we admit, this is too big. I can't handle this. On my best day, I can't figure this out. On my best day, I can't figure life out. I need help, God. God, please direct me. Please show me. Please do this in my life. Please give me grace and strength to handle this and give me wisdom here and help me with this. Show me the way I need to go. In Jeremiah 10:23, it says, "The way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." We just don't have it in us to figure life out, do we? And here's some encouragement. It's okay to admit that. And Jehoshaphat faced this situation. What does he do? Verse number 3, the very first thing it says is he was afraid. Jehoshaphat feared. Been fearful of that situation. I think I would have been. If you're the leader of a country and you've got 3 or 4 different armies kind of honing in on you and they're coming. You can't stop them from coming, but they're on the way. What are you going to do? Well, he got scared. He got scared. He feared. But he didn't let that fear control him. Look at the rest of that verse in verse number 3. He feared and he set himself to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he begins this process of giving them instruction and this prayer and this direction. And so picture this, you know, word comes, whether it's, you know, by letter, somebody delivers this news to Jehoshaphat. He's got all these things pressuring down in on him. And what does he do? First of all, he feels fear. I don't know what to do. How's this going to work out? And we've all faced situations like that in life. I don't know what to do here. This is a big decision. I don't know how it's going to work out. I could go this way, but what about this? There's so many uncertainties, and this is not, I don't know, it's not a done deal, and but what if this? And so there's so many uncertainties, and he draws all these people together, and the first thing he does is that he set himself to seek the Lord. And before anything else, what a great challenge to us. As life brings us situations, whatever that road brings us, whatever it is, whether it's a health concern or a financial concern or something in the work or something at home or something personal, whatever it is, you put the label on it. What a great way to start the process of God working in your life, right? Just set yourself to seek God. I don't know about you, but my first reaction, if I'm going to be completely honest, is sometimes my first thing is to try to figure it out on my own. I try to just, okay, what if I do this? What if I do this? What if we position ourselves with this? Or if I make this decision, this will happen. And I start trying to fix it. I start trying to make things happen. You know what I'm saying? I have a feeling I'm probably not the only one who does that. But Jehoshaphat sets himself to seek God. Sets himself to seek the Lord. And he gathers everybody together. He gathers everybody. Everybody comes out. The whole city, the whole nation, everybody comes to this place where he begins to do and offer up this prayer. Look at verse number 5. He stands in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Everybody's there. And what he does is interesting. He asks questions. You know, and sometimes we would be thinking the first question would be, okay, God, why? Man, we're trying to get back to you. We're trying to do things right. We're trying to follow your will and follow your way. But why are you allowing these enemies to come? Well, why is this happening? Okay, God, why? Can you stop it before it ever gets there? Can you just make this go away? There's been situations come along in our life where I've said, okay, God, just make it go away. Okay, just fix it real quick. Okay, can we work out a deal here or something? Can we just get this fixed? And he begins to ask questions, but these questions are different. These questions are completely different. Because a why or a question like that seems to be a question that would be built on a foundation of uncertainty. But these questions, every one of them, are on a foundation of just confidence. And it's such an inspiration. Look at this. Verse number 6. He gathers everybody together. Jehoshaphat says this, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? The first question he asks is, are you not? And he's offering these prayers up to God. And the first thing he says, he got everybody around him. And this question inspires confidence. Don't you think so? I mean, look at this. They're in the situation that seems insurmountable. He could say, okay, everybody, now I'm not sure what we're going to do. So let's figure it out. We're wringing our hands. We're sweating. We don't know what's going on. So best give me ideas right now. Give me military strategies. How can we fix this? What's the best way to get around this? The first thing he says is, are you not God? Are you not God in heaven? Look at the rest of verse 6. Art thou not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? What a great set of questions. When it looks like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix this. I don't know where to go. I don't know what decision to make. What if you just set yourself to seek God? What if we set ourselves to seek God, and one of the first questions we asked was, are you not God? Doesn't that inspire confidence? Isn't that built on a foundation that of confidence? Think about this for a second. If we all had a blank sheet of paper, or we saw up on the slide, it just said, God, are you not, in a blank line, and it was our responsibility, and we just had to think about it for a second to fill in the blank. God, are you not? Just allow yourself to think about that for a second. Charles Spurgeon says that there is no greater subject that can engage the human mind than that thought right there. Who God really is. God, are you not? Are you not powerful? Are you not mighty? Are you not sovereign? Are you not holy? God is omniscient. He knows. Right? God is immutable. He never changes. Nothing takes him by surprise. This situation didn't take God by surprise. Whatever thing we could be living through, it didn't take God by surprise. He knows. Doesn't that give you confidence to live life? I don't know how somebody could live life without God in their life. Where would somebody go to, you know? Where would we turn without God? And so we can stand confidently in the middle of whatever situation, as hard as it can be. And again, I know, so easy to say. And it takes a little bit more to live it out and to live in that confidence, but it's right there. This is who God is. This is our God. He's big enough. I mean, the questions, they're not built on uncertainty. Aren't they not God in heaven? You're big enough to handle anything. And sometimes it's our confidence, our experiences with God that might fill in that blank. God, are you not faithful? God, are you not strong and mighty and peaceful and full of mercy and a mystery and truth? And man, just so many ways we can describe God, but he's there and he's big enough and he can handle whatever comes down life's path. Amen? That's what he can do. That's our God. That's who we serve. He's big enough. And Jehoshaphat had confidence in that. I pray that God gives me confidence like that. I pray that we would all live in confidence like that. Deuteronomy 4:39 says this, "Know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon earth beneath. There is none else." Oh man, that's inspiring. 1 Chronicles 29:12 says, "Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." It's in his hands where we get strength. It's in him that we get grace and mercy and strength and courage to face the day. It's in him. It's not in us. And so let's face every single day saying, "God, are you not big enough? In thine hand it's power and might. You can handle anything. Nothing takes you by surprise." I've had the privilege of seeing people live this out. There's a lady in our church up in Ohio. Her name was Donna Potts. And Donna Potts later in her life got cancer, and it was in her nose. And it had a tremendous effect on just her lifestyle and what she could and couldn't do. And I she was such a great example to our whole church, as even till the last days God allowed her to live, she came to church and she brought her unsaved boys, and they were pushing her in her wheelchair, and she had a smile on her face. And I watched her face a situation in life that many people would have succumbed to the pressure of or been severely depressed over. And man, that's a tough thing to face. But I watched her live out her days and finish her race strong because she had confidence in God. And he was her strength and he was her help and he was her comfort. It makes a difference in the way we live. A few weekends ago, Christy's grandfather passed away, and he'd battled heart problems for years. And it was hard for the family. But you know what? I watched her grandmother handle that whole circumstance. And there's no doubt about it, she hurt. But I watched her live through that seemingly overwhelming circumstance in complete confidence in God. Boy, I'm telling you, when you live life this way, you live life different. It makes a difference in how we live. And it made a difference with Jehoshaphat right here. Are you not? That was his first question, but it wasn't a question of uncertainty. It was a question of confidence. It inspired confidence in other people. And you and I can do that as well. When we find out more about God, and as we live life, we do. As we live through circumstances, as we make decisions, as God does this and that, we get more, we learn more about him. We find out more that he's faithful and he's never failing. He's always there for us. We can find out more about him as we live life and as we study his word and as we see that in the life of Jesus as well. Look at the next question. See verse number 6, it says, God, are you not big enough to handle this? Look at verse number 7. Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? So the next question is a question of did you not? So it's, are you not God? Did you not make us a promise? Have you not promised us things? You've done great works in our life, in our country, in the middle of what we're doing here. So it's as this stage is set and as he steps up, first question is, are you not God? You're big enough. And then the second one is, did you not make us a promise? Did you not tell us you've promised this to us? You've given this to our heritage. We can look through history and see how you've always been there and you've always fulfilled your promises. And we can say the same thing, that we can live in confidence knowing God has always done what he said he will do. We don't have to live in uncertainty when it comes to our relationship with God. He always does what he says he's going to do. And he's left us a book full of promises and full of challenges and full of ways that makes itself real in our life. He promised them. God has made promises to us as well. Think for a minute. Allow your mind to think about how God has been so faithful to you through the years. Allow yourself to think about that just for a minute. Just when you needed him most, he provided, didn't he? Now maybe he didn't give you what you wanted, but he always gives us what we need, right? And that's what they're facing here. That's what they're experiencing here. That God will always, always, always give us what we need. Our problem is on our end. We sometimes need to adjust to what we need instead of just adjusting to a bunch of wants. And so sometimes it's on us to change and juggle some of those priorities and juggle some of those things. But he's done such great things for us. First and foremost, what God's done for us, and we have to understand this, is that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. He sent Jesus Christ to pay for our sin debt. That's the greatest thing God has ever done for you and I. Because left to ourselves, we live in sin. We have a sin nature, and we can't fix it on our own. We have this debt that we can't pay. We can't do enough stuff, enough good things, enough works to make up for it. And so God sends Jesus Christ to pay for our sin debt and make a way for us to have a relationship with him. And so let me challenge you this morning. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you've never maybe heard of or never allowed yourself to experience what God has already done for you in Jesus Christ, let that be today. Let today be a moment. Let this morning be a time that changes your life forever. Because we have to understand this, that there's nothing greater he could have done for us than to send Jesus Christ to die for our sins. And he's already done that. And now we can live in victory. And Jehoshaphat leads his people to see this. You've done this for us already. Look at the next few verses. Verse number 8. And they dwelt therein. You've already given this land to your people, and they dwelt therein, and they've built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if, when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, or judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. God's there to help. He hears and he helps. What a great confidence we have as we face life, right? That God's big enough to handle anything that can come, and he's always been there. I mean, that's what's happening here. That's the stage that's set. That's the confidence we can live in today, that he's big enough to handle anything. He's always been there for whatever has happened ever before. And this leads us to the next thing. Look at verse number 12. The stage is set. The enemy is approaching. It's too much. God, you're big enough. You've always been there. And here's the request. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? Will you not work again? God, just picture it. Jehoshaphat steps up. God, are you not big enough to handle this? Absolutely. God, have you not always been there for us and taken care of us and provided everything we needed? So God, will you not do it again? Will you not be there again? Listen from the perspective they come from. Right after that question in verse number 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. God, you have to help us. Come to the rescue, God. It's too big. We can't handle it. We can't figure it out. We have no might against this great company. Just us. We can't beat all these armies. So you have to do it, God. Our eyes are on you. Approach each day with our eyes upon God. What a great challenge for us as we can live in this confidence that this specific story tells us we can live in. That God's big enough. He's always been there and He will be there again. Whatever, maybe there's nothing going on right now in your life, but there will be someday. And so have confidence that God will be there again. If they say this, and this, I think this is a great challenge for us at the end of verse number 12, but our eyes are upon thee. Our eyes are upon thee. Psalm 25:15 says, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Man, that's exciting. Psalm 123:1 says, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. My eyes are upon thee. Look at Psalm 141:8. Says this, but mine eyes are unto thee, O God. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Let me read you one more verse. Mark this down or remember it, highlight it, whatever you do. Jeremiah 32:26-27 says, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Man, that's encouraging. That's exciting right there. There is nothing too hard for God. Nothing. Nothing at all. Look at this. I lost my place there, but go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Maybe you're still there. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And it's interesting as this plays out, we see the results. We see the results. Look at verse number 15. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. Be not afraid, nor be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And this is even better. It gets better. As if that's not good enough, God kind of does something a little extra special as well here. Tomorrow, go down against them. So I'm thinking, if the word of the Lord's coming back saying, you know, hey, don't worry about it, I got this, the battle is not yours, it's mine, I'm thinking, oh, whew, we're out of the woods, no problem. But the next phrase is like, okay, tomorrow, go ahead and go. Go ahead and go down to the battlefield. Thinking, no, God, you got this a little bit wrong. But look how this happens. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still. Choir just sang about that a few minutes ago. And see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. I don't know about you, but I need that confidence to face whatever life brings, don't you? Go. Charge into life knowing that God is big enough. He's always been there and He always will be. Those are questions that inspire confidence. It's not questions of, oh, I'm so nervous, I don't know what's going to happen. It's questions of, wow, God, I can have confidence in life. And it's going to be hard and there'll be some things I don't understand, but it won't shake my confidence in you. Listen, you take some time and read the rest of the story. It's an unbelievable story. What it boils down to is God gives them a front row seat to watch them fight themselves. And the battle is over. In 2 Chronicles 20, look at verse number 30, and this is kind of how this all settles. Verse number 30 says this, so the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Man, what a great confidence we can have in life. I can remember growing up, and maybe it's still used in Sunday school today, I don't know, but I remember the little poem, the little song, the little phrase, I don't remember exactly what it was, but our teachers would teach us this, and I printed it out today because I think it's important for us as we even have just this faith this simple. And it's just, you know, remember that song or that little poem, My God is So Big? Anybody remember that? My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are His, the valleys are His, the stars are His handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. We won't repeat this whole thing, but can you just say that first phrase with me? We're going to say this. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. Can you guys say that out loud with me? Ready? Here we go. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. Can I ask you to bow your heads just for a few minutes? I know in a room this size with this many people, there are some circumstances and there are some pressures, and there are some things that life has brought that are hard. And I don't mean to stand up here and act like that's not reality, because it is. But what I hope and pray is that as a result of this specific story in the Old Testament, that we can have a much clearer picture of how big God really is. And we can understand that God has always been there for us. And we can have confidence asking God, will you not do it again? My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. As you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you stand with me? We're just going to